does that even mean, Bauer's Game Corner?
Ahoy there, podcasties. We're back again today for another podcast. Me and Eric Baca.
Hi.
We are here for our episode 2 of Bauer's Game Corner today. We're going to be talking about some stuff around the Game Corner, around board gaming. Let's get started. What's coming up this week in Bauer's Game Corner? We filmed a review for the A-Team from Parker Brothers. What'd you think about that, Eric?
I think that was a good find. It's not every day you come across a game that has all the pieces and is from the 80s, much less one that's in such good condition. So it was pretty golden that we found that one.
Wasn't a bad game either. We're going to have a kind of humorous review this week of the A-Team, but it was not a bad game, and that's coming up on Wednesday because we always deliver the review on Wednesday. Some future reviews you can expect. I think we got... what do we got? We got Rattlesnake, a children's game from Fantasy Flight we really liked.
A lot of kids' games. What else is coming up? We've got all kinds of stuff.
We got the Pandemic expansion from the Brink. We have Survive, Escape from Atlantis, a game that I believe is like 30 years old. They redid it. I think Atlas Games did. Don't quote me on that. But we really like that game as well, too. Plus a bunch of other... new games to review. I think we got Fill the Barn from Hoopcat Games. They actually sent us a copy to review, and spoiler alert, I really like that game, so I'm excited to get that out there. But other than that, what are we playing this week? We got a lot of stuff going on. We got a new game called Shattered Olympus that from Cliché Studios. We haven't actually played it yet. It's a card game. It's not out yet, I don't believe. I think you can get it maybe on the Game Crafter, but I'm not sure. I think he just wants us to do a preview or review of the game, but we haven't played it yet. It's a card-based game about different gods. I really dug the artwork on
it. Yeah, it's really nice artwork.
But you'll hear more about that coming up. We got Battle from Moscow from Victory Point Games. Now, I'm not a huge war gamer, but we get sent war games to review from BoardGameExchange.com. I don't dislike war games. They're just, I don't know. I don't know what it is about them. Have you played any of them yet?
Didn't we play, we played one of them that they sent, the Victory Point ones.
Yeah, it wasn't, I don't know. War games just aren't really my thing. I don't dislike them, but I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah, if they're not done right, they can come off as pretty dry.
Yeah, if you're a history buff, I guess that I am a history buff, but I don't know. Another one we got is Hexit, or Hexit Strategy, from Cliché Studios. And wow, this is one of a print and play. They're going to be launching a Kickstarter sometime in the next year. And I'm helping them out with some of the rules, working on the rule booklet, just trying it out. And I got to tell you, this is a game to look out for. I am really excited to get a prototype of this game and get out a review. This is going to be on Kickstarter, I would imagine, probably by the end of the year, possibly, and is one to watch out for. It's a space game where you have to... It's a two-player space game where you're going to be going through space, setting up traps, attacking, defending. It was a lot of fun. Me and my fiance had a really good time with it, even though it is just a print and play. Moving on, what are we playing this week? Playing a lot of Rattlesnake. Brought it into school. Kids like it a lot. You play anything at home?
I played a pretty interesting game. It's a bingo type of game. It has memory involved. So what you're dealing with is switching two of the nine animals that you have out, and then you have to guess which ones the person switched. You kind of have to rely on covering your eyes and trust in small children, which I normally don't.
That's always a good rule of thumb. Do you remember the name of the game, or no?
No, I couldn't tell you.
Other than that, I'm going to be playing Fill the Barn quite a bit. We played one or two games. Going to play some more before we do the review. I got a bunch of new games, actually, from a Board Game Geek auction. If you guys are not on Board Game Geek, you need to be on it, first and foremost, if you're a board gamer. But if you're not on Board Game Geek auctions, you absolutely can. Now, you can go get games at thrift shops and Goodwill and garage sales, and that's great. You can get some great deals. But I get some really good deals at Board Game Geek on the GeekPay auction page. I paid $18. Now, that included shipping, and I got, I think it was 8 different games. Now, a lot of them aren't, you know, games. But the ones I got were Rattlesnake. I got a couple children's games. One called Ruckshuck, where you stack rocks, which sounds dry, but it's a lot of fun. Rattlesnake, which is a blast. When I'm a preschool teacher, it's going to be in my class for a long time. A dice game called Cosmic Wimp Out. I got Monopoly Deal, which is surprisingly awesome. A lot of people are just going to, you know, poo-poo on it because it is Monopoly. But it is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a real... you have to get three sets, and most of the time you're going to be playing action cards on people. So you can steal people's properties, you can trade people without them... Without them consenting, pretty much. I guess what would you call it, like trade rape?
That's Command and Conquer, I think.
You can steal people's stuff. It's a really good game. It's nice and quick. I think it's about the 15 to 30 minute mark. Some other games I got Canasta Caliente. Never played, but apparently it's a really popular game. Apparently my father-in-law used to play this all the time. It's a rummy-based game, a trick-taping game.
Canasta?
Have you played it before?
No, but I think that's how it's pronounced.
I got another Reiner Nitzia game because I think I'm on that guy's payroll. I have so many of his games. Cats and Jammer Blues, Cool Cats and Fat Mice. Great Blues lures fat mice. Be the coolest cat with the most mice by bidding on and booking the hottest blues band at your clubs. What the hell is that about?
It sounds pretty snazzy.
All I know is Reiner Nitzia generally is lacking in theme in his games, and I have a feeling that's going to be... that's probably going to continue that trend. I got a game called Knots, which is, I don't know, I haven't even opened it up. An exciting new path-building game for two players. It's not new, it's probably from the 80s, but it looks like it might not be a bad game. It looks kind of like Tesoro, just from the box, so not too sure about that one. And the only real game, like hobby game I got, so to speak, it's called The Haunting House from Twilight Creations, Inc. I'm a little bit nervous about it. Has no video reviews online except for a German one, and all the written reviews are, well, let's just say, not so flattering. But it's made in 2003, and doesn't look terrible. Doesn't look terrible, but I'll check that out. But yeah, all that for $18. That includes shipping and everything. Now, you're not always going to get that great of a deal, but if you're not on the Board Game Geek auctions, you need to check them out. They are fantastic. One thing, though, you do need to use PayPal. Through the Cracks, we're going to talk about a game that is not that popular, and I don't know why it's not that popular. This week I'm going to be talking about Lord of the Rings, The Duel. It's one in the Cosmos line of games. It's a game for two. It's from Rio Grande Games, and this is a really good game. We both really enjoy this game.
Yeah, there's nothing like a good duel. The card artwork... pretty solid. I like it. I don't think you liked it so much, but it's kind of like the watercolor, the wispy, nice artwork that you might see in one of the picture books, one of the books that include the pictures.
Yeah, and another thing I liked is, you know, they could have went simple with this. I've got another one of the Lord of the Rings game, I think it's The Search, that I'm not so keen on. That's a two-player game. And the thing I really liked about this one, and I've got a review on it, you should definitely check it out, is they included this nice little stand, because obviously in the immortal scene in the movie, you know, Balrog and Gandalf are fighting on top of this pit of lava. And they actually, inside the game, include like this little bridge you're fighting over, and they have little pawns that one looks like Gandalf and one looks like Balrog. Well, they don't really look like them, but they symbolize them. They went above and beyond to actually make the game a lot more thematic, which is something I really liked. But Lord of the Rings, The Duel, if you play a lot of two-player games, is a great game that you definitely should check out. You can probably get it for dirt cheap on Amazon, I imagine, because it's not that popular of a game. Lord of the Rings, The Duel, check it out for sure.
A Crazy Mixed Up Zoo, that was the game that we played, where we had to memorize the animals and see which ones were out of place. It's pretty good. Just pulled it up and actually got quite a few kids' games. Got an Angry Birds game that's a lot like the Cut the Rope game that we reviewed. It's got little birds that you can catapult and try and knock things down. It's pretty fun.
That game's
also got a Survivor the TV show game.
Nice.
So can't wait to get into that. Clever Endeavor. And then I found a nice copy of Simpsons Clue, which is a good classic to have on the board shelf.
Now you like that Angry Birds game? Have you played it?
No, I have not. Only so far as to watch my kids just play with the pieces like they're toys. So
yeah, that's all that game is good for. I one of my kids brought that into class, and it was freaking terrible. Because, like, it's like, oh, you have to set up these cards, and they're just so lazy. Like, I don't want to set up the cards. You set up the cards. And then they just want
to
flick the...
You know, to this day, I don't think I've played an entire game of Mousetrap. I don't know how the gameplay would even be played.
I think you have to get cheese.
We set up the thing, and by the time we set it all up, we're like, okay, it's time for our reward. let's see that cage fall.
That's a good point, I guess. But yeah, and Eric's wife gets a lot of those games at the thrift store. Didn't last week you got the Lord of the Rings game?
The Lord of the Rings. You know, I don't know. We didn't get into it. We've got so many to get now, but she just buys them for pennies on the dollar. Not only at the thrift store, but garage sales. There's tons of people that you wouldn't even think would have board games, and you know, that's where the A-Team got. And we've actually got another one coming up that's based on Mad Magazine that's from the same decade, so that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, and I really like those ones because that gives me an opportunity to dress up most of the time. Because most of those games are not the best. And if you haven't watched any of my reviews, normally I try and do something a little bit odd or a little bit special with some of those reviews. Next, moving on to Bauer's Soapbox, where I just need to get something off my chest. And I've been doing a lot of reviews for some of the various Kickstarter promotions, some different games. We have four videos up on various different Kickstarters, which is awesome. I mean, we're seeing a big boom from that. We've gained almost 70 subscribers in a month, which is fantastic. I mean, you know, we did it for like the first 10 months and we got up to 180. Then in 1 month, boom, 70. But if you haven't checked out some of those Kickstarter ones, we got four up there. I think we got Wordsmith, which is about to get funded. We got Shindig Machine, which is about to get funded. And then we have two that are not doing so well. They could definitely use some help. Do Your Job and Flan 4211. But Kickstarter, if you are thinking about making a Kickstarter, you need to use BoardGameGeek.com. It is the number one board game site on the planet, unequivocally. There's not another board game site that is close. I think number two is like Purple Pawn or BoardGaming.com. And if you are not promoting on BoardGameGeek, you are shooting yourself in the foot. If you think that people are just going to see your game on Kickstarter and just instantly, you know, back it, you know, it's not that case. I know I personally check the BoardGameGeek for every single game that I consider doing. Because if you're on BoardGameGeek, that shows that, A, you're a part of the community. You're not just in there to cash in. And if you're not, you might not be just trying to cash in, but you need to be a part of the community. It really helps because then you have...
It's like Facebook for your board game, you know?
It is. It definitely is. I mean, they've got tens of thousands of users. I mean... Every single day I find something new on BoardGameGeek that I didn't know existed. I just found out last week about the Secret Santa program, and I am smitten. I'm excited because I'm doing the Secret Santa program. And then yesterday I had a little buzz going on. I got on BoardGameGeek and realized that there's just a random section where you can ask questions. Like, I had no idea it existed. And they're not, like, board game questions. One's like, have you ever cheated on your wife or something? I mean, they're just random questions. I was like, why is this on here? But I was addicted to it. I answered, like, 60 questions. But, oh, but anyway.
So why were you cheating on your wife?
Get out of here. I love my fiance. But you need to make sure you're promoting on BoardGameGeek. I know with a lot of these, when I do a Kickstarter review or preview, I make sure I post it on Reddit. I make sure I post it on BoardGameGeek. If it applies, I post it on BoardGaming.com. And that's just for people to watch your video or watch my video for your game. But you need to be promoting it. You need to make a game page. You need to have at least some cover art. You know, the average ages, a bunch of different stuff. I mean, a gameplay video is great too. But, I mean, at least have the cover art, description of the game, the generals of the game. But that's me, and that's me getting up my soapbox. But I know for me personally, I don't think we will ever see one of these Kickstarter games just blow up, ever, if you don't have a BoardGameGeek page. I don't ever see it happening. I think you have to have a BoardGameGeek page, and you have to be a part of the community. Right now, with Zia, I think it is up to like $250,000. I think it's $235,000. And he has been active on BoardGameGeek. He has a promotion on BoardGameGeek. He bought ads on BoardGameGeek. What else did he do? He was number one on the hot list on BoardGameGeek because he had so many pictures of his game. And if you can get that community excited about your game, then your game is going to succeed. But that's me getting off my soapbox. And I think that's all we got for this week's podcast. So yeah, clocking in right under 15 minutes. If you have any suggestions for this podcast, anything you don't want to hear, I mean, just shout us a message, because this is obviously this is new to us, and we just want to make it better and better. Also, if you got a game you want us to check out, be sure to message us. Even if it's just a prototype, we'll check it out. But that has been episode 2 of Bauer's Game Corner on June 16th, 2013. This has been Forrest Bauer and Eric Baca, and we are signing off.